In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have several what I call one sentence sermon scriptures. You see there in verse 16, rejoice evermore. That's not always easy to do, is it? Amen. Maybe that's why God put it in there, so we'd remember to do it. And remember, it's not just a suggestion. It's a command. Amen. Rejoice evermore. And then he says, pray without ceasing. If you thought rejoice evermore was hard, pray without ceasing. Amen. And but God wants us to. Amen. And then verse 18, we mentioned, in everything give thanks. Well, I'll tell you, I mentioned it to my Sunday school class this morning. I'm trying to teach my children more than anything else to take on the spirit of gratitude. Why? Because built into gratitude is humility. It's the opposite of pride, amen? It's absolutely the opposite of pride. In everything, give thanks. Someone said the atheist is miserable when he gets thankful but has no one to thank. Amen? Sure. Hey, listen. When's the last time you took time and said, God, thank you for saving me? God, thank you for the food in our cupboards. Thank you for the life that you've given to me. Thank you for my spouse. Who thought about God? Just, I'll tell you what, you get this and you can get in the mouse wheel about it. Ever think about God, how He brought you to your spouse and what a miracle that is? Amen. What a miracle that is. God, thank you for my children and their health. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for my pastor. Amen. Oh, we're blessed. Amen. Hey, how about this? Thank you for that person at work I can't seem to get along with. Now I'm hiding. Amen. In everything, give thanks. Everything. God's good. Everything that comes into our life passes through His desk. Well then, our text verse for tonight is that little verse in verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Our message tonight centers on the Holy Spirit. He is misunderstood, maligned, and misrepresented. Amen. And many false doctrines and cults place an overemphasis on the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the pendulum swing about that is fundamental churches choose to ignore the Holy Spirit or go for long periods of time without preaching or mentioning the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, just because they got it wrong doesn't mean we have to have it wrong. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit is real. Amen? And again, we're just going to scratch the surface today, but if I could say by way of introduction, notice with me the excellency of the Holy Spirit. The fact that the Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father and just as much God as the Son. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira had lied about a particular amount that they were giving, Peter said, "Why has Satan tempted thee to lie? For thou hast not lied unto man, but unto the Holy Ghost, which is God." Said, you've lied unto the Holy Ghost. You've lied unto God. Matthew 28, 19 says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Excellency. He's deity. He's God, just like the Father and the Son. I want you to notice the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. That's found in John chapter 14. You know what? Let's go there tonight. Amen. Let's do some running tonight through the Scriptures. Amen. It'll be helpful to find these verses ourselves. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Now, if you don't get there, I'm going to run ahead. Amen. So you just catch up. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus speaking here says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you jump down to John 16, John chapter 16, verse number 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Down to verse 14, "He shall glorify me." Verse 13 says, "He will guide you into all truth." Hey, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. He is the Comforter. We mentioned it this morning. He's the Paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside and lifts us up. You know, when you're at your lowest, the Holy Spirit's right there to lift you up. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for Him, the Holy Spirit of God. The encouragement, the excellency, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us power. The Bible says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Some people say, I can't witness. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit will give you power to do it. Amen. Matter of fact, He said He would. Amen. He said He'd give you that power, the empowerment, the encouragement. Oh, how about the essential presence of the Holy Spirit? The essential presence. Romans 8:9 says, "And ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His." Sometimes we get nervous when we hear a verse like that preached. Listen, when you got saved, if you meant business with God, you got the Holy Spirit. You may not always feel Him. I've said so many times, I didn't cry. I didn't have cold chills go up and down my back. I didn't feel clean all over. But by faith, I got the Holy Spirit. How do you know, Pastor? Spiritual heartburn. When I try to do the wrong thing now, Brother Al, when my flesh wants to do the wrong thing, you know what bubbles up inside me? The Holy Spirit of God that says, uh-uh. And you know what? Don't take any Prilosec for that. Amen. Let the holy heartburn take over. Amen. The essential presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are emblems of the Holy Spirit. It'd take too long for us to look them up. I'll just throw them at you tonight. He's represented by water in John chapter 3. He's represented by wind in John chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. He's represented by oil in Matthew chapter 25. Remember, the wise virgins had oil in their lamps representing the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Lord comes, the only thing that's going to draw us to Himself when He comes is the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in us. We've got that oil inside of us. Amen. Rain and dew in Psalm 72. A dove in Matthew chapter 3 when Jesus was baptized. Amen. The Holy Spirit descending like a dove. A voice in Isaiah 6:8. A seal in Ephesians 4:30. And really what I want to kind of center on tonight is He's represented by fire. Fire. The Bible tells us that fire purifies. The Bible tells, that's Isaiah 4:4. The Bible tells us that fire illuminates. Exodus 13:21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light." You know what else? A fire not only purifies and illuminates, a fire consumes, doesn't it? It consumes. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29 tells us. There are two Greek words in your Bible that are translated quench or quenched. One of them, very interesting, both of them, but the first one especially is an adjective. It's used of the word unquenchable or never shall be quenched. And it's the word, Greek word, asbestos. Asbestos. Many of us remember. I can't tell you all the parts we handled in the aerospace industry that were coated with asbestos. Why? Because they were fireproof. It quenched fire. That word unquenchable or never shall be quenched, we find it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, that Jesus will gather His wheat, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 9, verses 43 and 45 says that the fire of hell shall never be quenched. Hey, let me ask you a question. Get into this morning's message. And listen, it's heart-searching for all of us. Listen, is you getting embarrassed in front of that neighbor or coworker? Have you counted the cost of them going to a place where the fire will never be quenched? But you know what we say? Well, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look foolish. We shouldn't say that. Amen. We should be willing to look as foolish as anybody. We should be willing to be a fool for Christ. Amen. Amen. Why? Because they don't know they're going there. Going to a place where the fire shall never be quenched. Luke chapter 3, verse 17, he will burn with fire unquenchable. But the word that's translated quench in our text here is the word spnumi. And it's used 8 times, meaning to quench 7 times, to extinguish, to quench of fire or things on fire, to be quenched, to go out, to quench, to suppress, to stifle. Matthew 12:20 says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Mark chapter 9, verses 44, 46, and 48, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Matthew 6:16 talks about, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And then in our text it says, quench not the Spirit. There is a work of God, ladies and gentlemen, that is like a fire in our lives. The Bible talks about Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 8 and 9. And Brother Jim, you remember, he said, look, I've had it. Nobody's listening. Nobody wants to hear me. And he said, you know what? I'm going to not preach anymore. But there was a fire burning in my bones, and I could not stay. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? God spiritually wants to keep us on fire. Wants to keep us burning hot for Him. And you that have tended to a fire knows that the tendency of a fire is to go out. Amen? You got to keep it hot. You got to keep the ashes out. You got to keep the drafts open. Amen. You got to keep those coals hot and keep wood on there. You know what? The choice is up to us, ladies and gentlemen. In Psalm 78, which we preached on not so long ago, verse 41, talking about the children of Israel, the Bible says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Calvinist will tell you, you can't limit God. The Bible says otherwise. Right. We can limit God. God has given us a free... How do you know we can limit God? Because if we couldn't, everybody would go to heaven.
Right.
Everybody. Amen. Right?
Yep.
Why? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? But they choose not to. You and I, in our lives, can lose God's best. You know, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit, Acts 7:51, was resisted. It's Stephen, with his great sermon that he preached, and they loved it. They loved the interpretation, preached along with the Scriptures, Brother Brown, until they got to the application. Then they didn't care for it that much. He looked at him, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Well, how about preaching like that today? Amen. We need it. Praise God. He can be resisted. He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Brother Hendershot, why do you think Paul wrote that? I'll tell you why. Because we can grieve Him. By the way, thank God, even if we grieve, He never leaves. Thank God for that. And remember that next time your flesh tempts you to sin. Grief is an awful thing. Grief has to be gone through alone. We can share, we can empathize, but when somebody is truly grieving, you can't grieve for them. They have to grieve. I think about times I've seen people at funerals and just how broken they were and how grief-stricken they were. And I think every time I sin, that's what I do to the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. He can be resisted. And according to our text, ladies and gentlemen, He can be quenched. How do we quench the Spirit? How do we extinguish or suppress or stifle the good work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives? How do we, if we can put it this way, how do we put out God's fire in our lives? How do we do that? I'll give you some reasons I believe why and how we quench the Spirit. First of all, number one tonight, I believe uncleanness in our lives quenches what the Holy Spirit... Ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget, His name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Amen. I think uncleanness in the life of a Christian, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Amen. Well, I'll tell you, preacher's not preaching on separation anymore, and we certainly need to. Amen. Amen. Uncleanness. There's so much uncleanness out there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." What does it say? "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor." And then listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Unclean living will quench the Spirit. Amen. Unclean thinking will quench the Spirit. Unclean associating will quench the Spirit. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we can quench, we can put out what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our life by uncleanness. That's why you ought to keep short accounts with God. When God speaks to your heart about something that's sin, don't argue, don't debate, repent. Amen. Repent. 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 Get in the habit of repenting. You say, "Pastor, I have to repent all the time." Then do it.
Amen.
Do it. Purge yourself. Why? Because, listen, you do not want to quench the Spirit in your life. You do not want to quench the Spirit. I don't want to quench the Spirit in my life. Uncleanness will quench the Spirit. What's another way that will quench the Spirit? Unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness will quench the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." 2 Corinthians 5:9. "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him." If there's one group of people that I admire, it's people that are faithful in spiritual things. Faithful in the things of God. By the way, I had a daddy who was faithful to go to work every day. I thank God for that. Thank God for the things I learned about that. But, you know, faithfulness in spiritual things. I'm preaching to the choir. You're the Sunday night crowd. Over 100 here on Sunday night. I thank God for you precious people. Amen. You know what will quench the Spirit in people's lives? Unfaithfulness. And the devil has all kinds of tricks to get us to be unfaithful. Amen. He'll use things in our life. Can I say this? He doesn't often use drunkenness or pornography to get us to be unfaithful, though He will use those things. Amen. But He'll use good things. He'll use your sweet little girl's cheerleading practice that's now on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. He'll use Johnny's basketball tournament that's going to go all day on Sunday. He's so tricky. Amen. He's so tricky. But you know what unfaithfulness does? It causes the Spirit to be quenched in our lives. It's amazing how quickly unfaithfulness can degenerate. I remember a dear family in our that God placed in our lives. Dear family. I love them to this day. I remember they were working the bus route. And a bus route is, as Brother and Sister Boston know, it's a lot of work. Plain and simple. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of visitation. It's these folks give of their Saturday. It's gone. Forget it. It just doesn't exist. Amen. And I want to thank God for it. Amen. God will reward them one day. Amen. But these dear folks, it was such a blessing to see them. They were in this very rough area, the city that we lived in. And they at that time, they had four kids. And it was like the little cutters, you know, thunk, 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 you know, four of them. Amen. It was like 6, 5, 4, and 2. Amen. Just, and this sweet little family into this ghetto area, they would go every Sunday morning and round up the kids and be ready for the bus. And he came to the pastor after a while and he said, you know, Pastor, I'm going to have to give up my bus route. And the pastor thought, well, you know, maybe you've got to work during that time or but it just, you know, he said, you know, it's just too much for me to bring my family. And the pastor tried to talk him out of it, as every good pastor would. Amen. Don't, Lord willing, if you're in your 30s, you shouldn't be giving up ministries. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're 80, it's okay. We love you. Amen. And by the way, we love you in your 30s too. But it was amazing, Brother Harmon, how quick it went from I'm giving up my bus route to I can't come on Wednesday nights anymore. I can't be there on Sunday nights anymore. And but I'd never miss Sunday morning. Oh, yeah? What happened, Pastor? I got divorced. Now, is divorce the worst thing in the world? No. But I'll tell you what, it goes back to faithfulness. Faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful. I'll tell you, an easy way to quench the Spirit in our lives is to be unfaithful. Listen, remember that as you want to crush that alarm clock tomorrow. Amen. But it gives you that extra 5 to 10 minutes to get up and just have time with God. Remember that. It's unfaithfulness that quenches the Spirit in our. Listen, we all struggle with faithfulness. I don't care who you are. You can look me in the eye and say, I never struggle with faithfulness. Well, thank you. We'll get you to sign everybody's Bible after service. Amen. No, we all struggle with it. We're all made of the same stuff. I'll tell you, an easy way to quench the Spirit is through unfaithfulness. Remember that one who was given the one talent? What did he do? He buried it. He didn't faithfully do anything with it, but bury it. God was not pleased with him. Anyone can be faithful. Thank God for that. Whosoever will can be faithful. Amen. Everyone is supposed to be faithful. Lee Robertson said, I've quoted it so many times, a man may not be much, but he can be faithful. Uncleanness will quench the Spirit. Unfaithfulness will quench the Spirit. Something we mentioned this morning. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members, your body, amen, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Great verse right there. Even just the first half of the verse is fantastic. Don't yield yourself unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments in righteousness unto God. What's the third thing that'll quench the Spirit? Unfaithfulness, uncleanness, and I believe this one really gets to the heart of the matter, and that is unyieldedness. Unyieldedness. You see, God tells us to do some things. And when we will not yield ourselves to what God says, which is in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Malone used to say all the time, he said, God spoke to the Apostle John, and he hasn't spoke to anybody out loud since the Apostle John. Amen. And I believe that. Amen. He gave us His Word. If you constantly will not yield yourself to what God says, you are quenching the Spirit in your life. You are. I am. If I get to the point where God says, you know what, I want you to read My Word, and I say, you know what, I'm a pastor boy, I know that book. You know what God's going to say? You know what, I'm just going to put that fire out. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, churches die because the Spirit gets quenched. Not just in the preacher's life. In the people's life. You know what? The truth is, I could quench the Spirit, and if you've got the Spirit burning, I'll catch it again. That's the way fire is, amen? Vice versa, amen? I want to stay burning, and all God's people said, I want to be that way. I want to make sure the pulpit's hot. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, unyieldedness, this is a problem with many. They're waiting for the audible voice or a special sign from God when God has given us His Word and says, yield to Me, obey Me. But boy, we don't like to obey. We don't like to yield. I remember learning when my dad taught me how to drive that a yield sign is a good thing to pay attention to on the road. Amen? I remember my dad teaching me how to drive. I was 15. There was an Air Force base close to where we lived. And I delivered Sunday papers early in the morning. Dad get up and he'd take me out to drive. And I remember we're driving down the road and I don't know how to do anything. I'm just steering and amen. And I remember steering, and there was a cement truck coming down the road, and I'm just sitting there in the middle of the road, and my dad said, you know, it'd probably be a good idea right about now if you'd move over to the right a little bit. You know, you twist the wheel there. You know what God says? You know, it'd probably be a good idea if you'd do what I asked you to do. It'd be better for you. He said, Brother Randall, in His Word, the way of transgressors is hard. You know why? I believe, Brother Hauser, because the Spirit's quenched. The Spirit's quenched. It's hard. It'd be better to obey God and where He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Unyieldedness will quench the Spirit in our lives. Unfaithfulness will quench the Spirit in our lives. Uncleanness will quench the Spirit in our lives. Let me give you a fourth one. And boy, I could preach and preach and preach on this, but time's getting away from us. I'll move quickly. Unforgiveness. Amen. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will quench the Spirit in our lives like few other things can. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 18, that man who owed a debt of 10,000 talents. And he came down before the king and he fell on his knees and he begged the man. He said, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Brother McGee, he never could have paid that off. Never. Why? He was not a lord. He was a servant. Now, first of all, I would like to know how he accumulated such a debt. My goodness, amen. He needs Dave Ramsey seminars or something, amen. But what did he do? He fell down at his Lord's feet and the Lord Lord said, look, I've got enough. I've got enough. You're forgiven. And when he should have been running out of there singing zippity-doo-dah, he walks over, finds somebody, Brother Al, that owes him $100. Grabs him by the throat and says, pay me what you owe. Man falls down at his feet, says the exact same thing he said probably 20 minutes ago. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And you know what, church? I think he could have paid it all off. A couple of months' salary, literally. And the Bible says, and he would not. And he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And what happened? Some of the fellow servants saw that whole thing happen, went back to the Lord and told Him about it. He called this servant back to Him and said, you know what? He said, you owed me 10,000 talents and I forgave you because you asked me to. Why wouldn't you forgive this one that owed you such a small debt? And the Bible says of that man that he delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay what he owes. The most tormented person in this congregation is the person who has been wronged and will not forgive. The most tormented person. I've heard of people. It's never happened in my presence, thank God. I've heard of people that have gone up to other people and sincerely, Brother Brown, asked for forgiveness, and the person did this. God help us. Listen, you could put a big fire right in the middle of this room, and if that's your attitude, there'd be five fire extinguishers go tss, quenched. No fire of God. No voice of God. No presence of God in your life. Unforgiveness will quench the spirit just as sure as water will quench fire. What else? One more. And by the way, you could probably come up with a whole other list of uns, amen. The Bible says, be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 5:23-24, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar and rememberest that thou have aught with thy brother, leave thy gift at the altar, go thy way and first be reconciled unto thy brother. It's truly sad that Christians populate churches that have unforgiveness deep down in their hearts. And if there's a person here today that's like that, listen to me. There's a reason why you haven't heard from the Holy Spirit in a long time. There's a reason why you're quenching Him. You're quenching Him. Quench not the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? We quench Him by uncleanness. We quench Him by unfaithfulness. We quench Him by unyieldedness. We quench Him by unforgiveness. And we quench Him by, lastly tonight, unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. Jesus, one of the great miracles that He did, and if you've never done a study on the miracles, you should. It's awesome. I remember when I first came and did a combined Sunday school in 2010, we did a series on the miracles of Christ. Wonderful study. He, one time, healed 10 lepers from afar. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. They cried out, unclean, unclean. And the Bible says Jesus cleansed them, and as they went, they were cleansed. By the way, that's a wonderful portion of Scripture. You know, as you go along, as you get closer to the Lord, you get cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Amen. What happened? All of them left, and then as they were leaving, one of them said, wait a second. And he ran back to Jesus, and he fell at His feet. And the Bible says, Luke 17:17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Aldous Huxley, who wrote the novel Brave New World that we seem to be living in, said, most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted. As the Samaritan was bowing at the feet of Jesus to give thanks, Jesus asked two stirring questions. Were there not 10 cleansed? That's a rhetorical question. Brother Wright, he knew he'd cleansed 10. Then he said, but where are the 9? Jesus forever, in the pages of the Bible, warns its readers against the attitude of ingratitude. These 9 men who had called upon Jesus for mercy and healing had been heard and received exactly what they asked for, but they weren't grateful for it. You know, one of the earliest mile markers of heathenism and paganism is ingratitude. Where do you get that, Pastor? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We read it over and over before, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. God wants us to have a grateful heart. I see it in my children sometimes. Brother Leonard, I try to work it out. I think you parents know exactly what I'm saying. I don't want to give them too much. Amen? I want to give them everything, but I don't want to give them too much. I don't want them to get spoiled. I don't want them to get ungrateful. I was talking to Mrs. Howland this morning. My children at Christmas time or at birthday time, they're what I call one gift kids. They just want one thing. And for that, I'm thankful. Saves a fortune. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to teach them, you know what? Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. I've mentioned it so many times, and I hope it doesn't get trite. I mean it with all my heart. When we pray at night, when we pray over our meal, we say thank God for the people of Loomis Park Baptist Church that give us this home to live in. Thank God for the people of Loomis Park Baptist Church that give us food to eat. And I'll say many times, thank God for the people of Loomis Park Baptist Church for letting Daddy be their pastor. Why? Because I want them to know that those things don't just appear. They come from God, but they come through the goodness of God's people. Why? Why do you do that, Pastor? So they'll be grateful. So they'll grow up being grateful. So they won't quench the spirit by unthankfulness. We're fickle creatures when things don't go our way, aren't we? We are. I am. I fully admit it. Amen. We quench the spirit by uncleanness. Maybe there's some things in your life that just ought not to be in it. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Amen. Throw it in the dumpster. Amen. Throw it in the trash. Amen. Set it on fire. Hallelujah. Unless you got a fire ordinance in your building or something. Amen. Put it out in the burn pile. We'll set it on fire for you. Amen. Unfaithfulness. Show me an unfaithful Christian and I'll show you somebody that's not, they're not hearing from the Holy Spirit like they should. Just not. Unyieldedness. Because God says do something and we just completely don't do it all the time. He's not going to speak to us. His voice is going to get quieter and quieter and quieter until we don't hear Him anymore. Unforgiveness. My goodness, just forgive. Jesus forgives you. Jesus forgives me. Every time I go to Him and say, Father, I've sinned, He forgives me and He expects me to forgive others. Unthankfulness. You know, we all ought to maintain a spiritual glow. Samuel L. Bringle once wrote, "The old founder called a few of us to him on the train one day and said, 'Young men, take heed to the fire in your own hearts, for the tendency of a fire is to go out.' I thought about that and said to myself, 'Yes, the fire will go out unless I do three things. Keep the drafts open. Keep the ashes and the clinker shaken out, and put on more fuel.' Then I applied that to my own soul. I am not to run around and kindle my fire at the altar of someone else. I have a fire of my own. I am to keep the drafts open by testifying, keeping the prayer windows open toward heaven. I'm to keep the ashes out. I cannot depend on past experiences. I must seek God afresh. Then I must add fuel. I must pile on new truth. I must search the Scriptures, feed my soul. The blasts of hell will seek to quench the flame if I don't guard the fire in my own heart. What sputtering little sparks we are, when actually, as His witnesses, we should be aflame with the love of God." Don't let the Spirit be quenched, folks. uncleanness, unfaithfulness, unyieldedness, unforgiveness, and unthankfulness will all quench the Spirit. Father,